Can you believe in a finite object possessing infinite power? Or that a mineral can be proclaimed the medicine of the 21st century? Or that the power of nature can win over the ignorance of man? If you can, you will know why our mission is to get Shungite to the masses. You are entering the Shungite Zone with Stephanie Dietz, Nancy Hopkins, and friends. This is the Shungite Radio Show produced by Cosmic Reality Radio and simulcasted over Aggie Shack Radio. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Shungite Show. This is Nancy Hopkins. This is a production of Cosmic Reality Radio. With me is Stephanie Dietz and one of our very new friends, but just an awesome, awesome guest, Julie Roberts. So, Steph, I'll turn it over to you to introduce Julie.
Welcome, everybody, to the Shungite Show. Today is Tuesday, September 18th, 2018. And there's so many cosmic alignments and codes of epic proportions just coming in day after day after day. So I said, we have to have Julie back on to discuss some of these things. She just posted a new project the other day, grid working along the Blackstone River. And there's also a comet out there called the Green Comet, fireballs from the dragon's eyes, that we're going to discuss, and just so, so much more as we're all ascending from this 3D Earth. So welcome, Julie. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me back, Nancy and Stephanie. It's a pure pleasure to chat with you awesome ladies.
For sure. So, you know, as we're always in synchronicity here, last week you posted one of your project reports, and the project report was done on, of all things, the Blackstone River. And you had completed this in 2017 when you started studying with Katie Indicro of Indicro Energetics and Indicro Academy, doing your grid working and gatekeeping. So you chose this Blackstone River, and this river was actually given federal status as a distinction of being one of America's most polluted industrial rivers. Is that true?
That's what their website says. Yes. It has a very rich history of industrial usage and, you know, as a travel corridor, and there's a hand dug canal. Yeah, it's but it has had mills along its banks, and everything just got dumped right in. So, like many corridors in the United States, so there's all kinds of dyes and toxic chemicals and pollutants that have been, and now the mills are no longer in use now, but a lot of them still have their tanks of crude oil and whatnot that's still in the, it's in the soils and it's still leaching into the river. So it's a big ongoing project by lots of scientists and lots of different teams up here.
You know, up here, so I'm not sure we said it was Massachusetts. We know it's Massachusetts.
Yeah, that's
true. But we didn't identify the location.
Yeah, up here at the North Pole, Santa's elves. So yeah, I'm in Massachusetts. And the Blackstone River, the headwaters are under Worcester, Massachusetts, and it runs through central Massachusetts into Rhode Island and to Providence, Rhode Island, Pawtucket, and Providence, Rhode Island. It empties into the Atlantic Ocean. Thank you, Nancy. That's a good point of clarity, because I know where I am, but.
Well, we do, too, because we've had you on before, but. Worcester, Massachusetts. Now, you said that was where it starts?
Yeah, the headwaters of the Blackstone are actually under the city. So it collects from different tributaries and different ponds.
So it's like an aquifer?
Yeah.
So an aquifer breaks to the surface and creates this river.
I know, I'm not a riverologist. But yeah, whether the aquifer is the right word, but a lot of different... Yeah, an aquifer collects and gathers. It's a basin. and a lot of different, you know, there's the Mount Wachusett is several miles north of here, but there's like a basin and a bowl. And Worcester is one of those seven hill cities, like Rome or Paris, or is one of the world's seven hills. So Worcester itself is a basin. So there's just a lot of,
Got it. I lived in Worcester too.
You did?
Yes. Let me see. It would have been 1971
to
2. Yeah, and those seven hills, well, that's why I'm in Florida. Because those seven hills in the wintertime are awful. And I lived on a hill, you know, and so I had a cougar. Ooh, cougar. You remember the cougars?
And sure, sure.
They had the biggest engine in the world in this car, but there was nothing in the back. So I was continually getting stuck because there was no traction in the back of the car. And it was just when the next year came and we had an early snowfall and somebody said, "Do you want to go to Florida?" I said, "Yes." I'm not going to go through another winter.
People that don't drive in New England don't know, like, why do you have like cinder blocks and bags of sand in your trunk?
Exactly. I gotta tell you, I had a roommate that was just one of these people that always had the most bizarre things happen to her. So she's driving home and somebody's stuck in on the street. She can't get by him. So she gets out of the car and she helps this guy and push this car so that it at least gets a little traction, you know, and he's going, okay, he's going. All of a sudden he slammed on his brakes and this guy ran out of this house with a TV in his hands. She had just helped him rob somebody's house.
Oh, geez.
But that's Worcester for you.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to interrupt. It was just brought back all sorts of Worcester memories, you know.
I love
it's a beautiful area. The whole of central Massachusetts is just stunning. But go on with your story. I'm sorry, because your story is fascinating.
Well, yours is too. Yeah, Stephanie, what you were asking me about, is it really one of the most polluted rivers?
Right.
Have that federal status. And there's been a big push there's a whole Blackstone River Regional Watershed Association, lots of people that are working really hard in lots of different ways to work on the Blackstone. So it has gotten a lot better, but there's still a lot more.
So let's start
itself.
With
it's like the river, it's the water itself, but then there's all the sediment layers and the soils underneath and on the banks. So,
well, in your field work project here, you know, I just want to let everyone know it is just excellent in documentation. I mean, it's an entire research report. And when I first saw this, I was blown away because I said, I believe you've created the snapshot of the future research of our children and our children's children and what they will complete in regards to bridging quantum physics, enterology, and the holy sciences. So I just want to thank you and commend you for, you know, being the way shower on this one, because it's just beyond well done. Can people see this on your website?
Yes. And I'll post the link to it. So I have it right now because there's a lot of embedded videos and pictures and whatnot. So it's like a big Word document. So I made it a Google Doc, but I made all the videos YouTube links, you know, so it's not that I can email it around. But I have a link to it on my website. Yes, for sure.
And we have a link. We have a link on the promo announcement, Cosmic Reality, the group on Facebook, so they can go directly to it.
Oh, thank you. So right now it exists as a public access Google Doc. So hopefully
Fantastic.
Everyone can access that, even if you don't have a Google account or Gmail. So, yeah, I wrote it up as a homage to two of my big mentors and teachers, for sure, for Katie Indicrow. And I had done a bunch of introductory and then advancing grid work training with her in the year of 2017. And then I decided to enter a private study with her where you work one-on-one with her and you pick a project. And I knew I was just like, oh, I got to work on the river. I didn't even quite know what that meant, but I picked that as my project in August 2017. And then my other teacher and influence is John Todd of John Todd Ecological Engineering. And I found his work in the late 1990s, maybe 1998. A friend of mine gave me his book. It's called From Eco-Cities to Living Machines. And he is one of the knowledge holders, and he's just a fascinating, fascinating way shower himself, and has been working at this since, you know, since he was my age and younger, and was a professor at UVM and has a Ocean Arcs Institute in near Woods Hole on the Cape in Massachusetts, in Falmouth. And I volunteered with him. You know, when you just meet someone who's brilliant, you're like, I just want to come hang out with you. So I would go, when I was finishing my engineering degree, I would drive a couple hour drive to go just kind of sit by him. And, you know, I shoveled stuff in his greenhouses or like filled bins or so. Living machines is a technology where you create a small ecosystem that cleans and clears and purifies water as it moves through it. There's fish. It's like an aquaponics-y constructed wetland, like, you know, eight different, you know, it's a whole thing, but it's a living machine. So when I moved to Grafton, you know, you wonder where you place yourself and why, but my family moved here to Grafton and I moved my healing yoga business to Grafton. And I was driving by and I was like, I saw this greenhouse in this park in Grafton. I was like, that sure looks like a living machine. So I had, you know, long story short, I had fallen out of touch with him and his work, but it was still always in my heart. And I'd gone on to do, you know, a different career path. I did work as an ecological engineer for a while with another company that did composting toilets and wash water gardens. So in that, let's make the earth happy and the waters healthy. But then I switched gears and did more of the yoga healing thing. So anyway, fast forward, you know, 15 years, I was driving by and I was like, gee, that looks like a living machine. And then I Googled and I was like, there's a freaking living machine like 2 miles from my house and I didn't know about it. So he has this on the Blackstone River. Someone, a land steward here whose family owned one of the mills that has since burned down and is like a big Blackfield, Brownfield EPA hazard site, who he is working to clean up that legacy. His name is Gene Bonnot. He hired John Todd to build this eco machine and they've been working and having great success. So one of the reasons I wrote this report up is I contacted both of them and I was like, I want to volunteer and just do some extra work. So this is separate and apart from my grid work, but not, you know, it's all connected. I was like, really? There's one of those right there and I could plug in. So I had mentioned this grid working project to him a little sheepishly because he's this like master. And he was like, you know, that project could have some ecological merit and we should study that. And I was like, oh, well, I can't just casually mention it to him. I got to have like a scientific document to hand to him. But I also wanted it to be very, what's your word, Nancy? I have to make enterology. I wanted it to be filled with enterology too, because they do meet, you know, the science and the spirit and the science and the energy. So thank you for recognizing that, Stephanie, because I was really working. I feel like one of my roles is to bridge the science to what some call, you know, energy science or spirit.
Can you do me a favor and just expand for myself and the audience what this particular machine, what did you call it?
He calls it a living machine.
A living machine. Can you describe more about what that process is?
Sure. It's, so there's many different ways that it's constructed. Sometimes they have floating rafts that are on bodies of water. There's several. When I was volunteering for him, he had lake restorer rafts. So like some of them are rafts where there are plants growing in the bed of the raft and they pump lake or river water up into the bed. And then at a microbial level by the roots of these plants, transformation happens. And then they use filtration through different. Some people use like plastic chunks of things, or you can use like rocks or, you know, something that has surface area that microbes can grow on. So there's some microbial level remediation and some of it is pure filtration. So every one, I think for every project, he designs them differently, or his team designs them differently, so that water will come in and it will go through this whole flowing process. Some of it's, you know, organic material. Some of it is anaerobic. Some of it's aerobic. And it just like digests, if you will, the toxins that are in the water. And then the effluent, the outflowing water, you know, it changes itself through this living process. So instead of, you know, for our wastewater treatment plants, we take in wastewater and then it's pumped full of other chemicals and, you know, sits in the lagoons. And there's all these other civil engineering ways to handle wastewater or effluent, they call it. Does that make sense? Is that what you wanted to know about?
Yes. I want you to tell your story, but then I want to come back to this concept, because I believe very firmly that if they interject shungite in some of our energy devices, they will see astounding results.
So one of my and like personal goals, and it's dovetailing with, I'm really blessed to live near a community school that was founded 35 years ago by a bunch of parents who wanted more for their kids than the traditional, you know, public education and eco-literacy. And, you know, they have chickens on site. They teach organic gardening. It's like all project-based learning. So working with people at that school, working with these people that have the living machine here, like I really want to set up a water lab, ecological education, center for living, you know, living consciousness that combines all this stuff. So my goal is to have a physical center. You can come visit, where it's like people walk in and it just looking at just being in it is an ecological education in itself, you know, and for the children for sure.
Oh, that sounds exciting.
And it is, but shungite, let's go back to the shungite. I would love to set up even on a small scale. You know, I could just buy, like, as you said that, I was like, oh, the chunks. So I don't know if you know anyone that does aquaponics or growing mediums. Like they sell a whole bunch of different, you know, like landscaping rocks, but they have to be lightweight. I was like, imagine if we just put, instead of that, we put the shungite in. Like, hello.
Well we actually have devices based on shungite that all you need to do is put one in that river and you should clear the entire river. That's how powerful these things are.
So how cool would it be if I have my own water quality research lab or figure it out?
Honey, I'll help you with it.
Okay.
That's so see, we need you people like you that have the scientific background, plus you completely embrace enterology to be able to marry up, you know, because what shungite's teaching us is enterology.
Right.
You know, so it's just one of those fascinating, and I just am so honored that, you know, we got together here, because yes, we can make a massive difference, especially once you got people that know what they're doing and all of a sudden say, well, this isn't supposed to be happening, but it is, you know, versus people like myself who's, well, you know, I could go on about this, but
this is the most exciting thing we could possibly talk about to me, like how we could work together with this, because it's like this project even here, like when I get this center built, it's like I want it to be a pilot project, and so does John Todd's work. Like this river is one of the many polluted rivers, obviously, especially in the northeastern, whole eastern seaboard, right? So we pick this up and it's a pilot project. And then it's like, oh, and it has to be done affordably so that, you know, municipalities can be able to afford to put this in, or private investors could afford to put it in. And
well, the beauty of it, there's no investment from shungite.
Well, yeah.
You know, I mean, our device is, you know, a $300 device. You put it, but in the water. Actually, you don't even need to put it in the water. But, you know, people can't quite grasp a lot of this. But you put it in the water and you somehow secure it so that it just doesn't take off down the river, because it will. And within such an incredibly short period of time, like let me give you an example. We had this customer who, well, she wasn't even our customer, but she had been listening to us about shungite. And she had 7 acres that she was renting to somebody to put hay on it. not thinking that anybody would put a chemical on hay. Well, she finds out that the new renter put Roundup on the field. Okay, so she goes absolutely ballistic. She feels like, you know, she's a light worker, so she's probably felt betrayed by the universe. Why did you do this to me? I've worked so hard on my land. And but she remembered shungite, and she had not gone to us, but she had gone to a local supplier and got shungite, so she had shungite with her. And she just was drawn to take nuggets and go to the middle of the 7 acres. And she was very funny. She says to me, "I'm not into numerology, but I had to wait until 11:11 a.m. to drop it."
Of course.
I mean, you know, once you catch the bug, you just all of a sudden know how it works, you know? It's
as
like you got
said
the
that
beat.
At 12:21 on 9/18/18.
So yeah. I'm in. I gotcha. So she dropped some of them. I don't know. She didn't tell me how many, but she dropped a few of them in the center, and then she walked the 7 acres and dropped shungite nuggets. All the time, you know, praying, if you will, or putting your intention out that this purifies the land. So then she sends us a message, and she put it in the B category, so I sent it to Derek. And so Derek calls her, and she tells him the story, and she says to him, "Do you think that shungite will purify the field?" And so now think about what happens to Derek's mind. Derek is thinking about it, and says, "Of course." But see, when he said that, he put out another thought form intention to clear the field. Okay?
Uh-huh.
And shungite loves energy, and the most powerful thought, I mean, the most powerful energy field is human thought. So the two of them together had put this intention. She had put the shungite in the area, focusing it, you know. So, but she wanted to talk to me, so I call her up, and I'm talking to her. She's telling me this story. I don't even know where she lives, okay? Somehow or another, it got by me where she's located. But I'm just focusing on her, and I got drawn to the field, you know, remotely, and I'm looking at it. I'm going, "I don't feel anything. There's no toxins in the soil." And so I said to her, "You know, I think you guys have already cleared this, but you should get a test." But the test, see what they do is they, for this glyphosate, they take the testing and they go from what could be pennies on the dollar probably to $1,000 so that people don't have the money to test to see this stuff is there.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, "You know muscle testing, yes? All right, get somebody who muscle tests. I want you to go and check it out, you know, that way." So she does. She brings somebody in. They're saying, "No, it's enough. This is perfectly good land. No problems whatsoever, right?" But then she pulls out two vials. And when she got thinking about this whole thing, she realizes, of course, that because now she's focusing on a situation. And she realizes that the farms up above her property are probably leaching into the river, the stream that runs through her property. So she had taken samples of the water. And she had put three nuggets in one vial of shungite and left the other. And we know how powerful shungite is. And she's been, God bless her. Her name is Janet. I don't know if she wants me to tell her last name. But Janet was, God bless her. She was listening to those shows and she understood what I was saying. Because she says to me, "And when I got into the car, I kept those two bottles so far away from each other. Because shungite will bleed, you know, many, many feet. And so you've got a pure thing here, and now you got a pure thing here. You've lost your sample, right?" But so she had kept them separate, and indeed, the ones that had the nuggets in it, the muscle testing said pure. The other one said, "No, don't drink this crap." Okay. Oh. So, but she had been listening to me, and so she says to the woman, "Okay, get ready to muscle test." And the woman's like, "Yeah, okay." And she takes the three nuggets out of the good water and dropped it in the other one. She said, "Muscle test." Now, that other one had just been seen as toxic, right? And I said to her, I said to everybody, it's instantaneous. The change is instantaneous. It comes from the quantum field. You got a molecule and a system that's rotating 20 billion times a second being filled by the quantum. There's nothing in the 3D that can even make it hesitate. So she drops it in there, and instantaneously that water had been changed.
Wow.
This is the most amazing thing we can work with.
So do you have that in rivers? Like, have you, is there...
Yeah, we have one in the Long Island Sound that my daughter put in the year 2014 that cleared it out. And one thing I want to get into is, you know, in your section 5, you're talking about how you're actually doing transmutation through smell of these polluted waters that are bringing on an odor, and it's a frequency. And actually you were taking it through your body and using your body as to purify the toxic load, and it hit your liver. See, this is the thing we don't have with shungite. We don't have to go through all this with our physical body anymore. We don't have to do it. With shungite, it's boom, instantaneous. And I know what you mean about those smells. You know, when we're working, clearing water all the time, I mean, when we did that in New York City, you could imagine what it looked like, full of chemtrails, smog, just gray frequency. Boom, as soon as that thing went in, pink skies, flashes of light, dolphins and humpback whales, you know, coming in there that they hadn't seen in years and years and years. So it really is. And somebody like you, you know, that would work with one of these shungite water turtles, again, it would be, it's instantaneous with your thought. But I love that we need the documentation. And that's what you've done here. That's exactly what you've done here.
Thank you. I just want to clarify that I did not intentionally do that transmutation, and I wouldn't recommend it. You know, that is like
exactly.
I just wanted to mention it to people because it was happening for me. Like, you know, I think I told if I'll tell it here because I don't expect everyone who's listening to this to go read my report, but please do. But I was working with a healer, and she's like the lady I go to for my body alignment and healing, and she's like, "What's going on with your liver?" And I was like, "Yeah, what is going on?" She's like, "This is not, you don't ever present this energy signature." It's like, "What's going on? Have you been like, you know, eating things or what's going on?" I was like, "No, no." And then I like realized it resonated with her too. And I was like, "All right, let's clear that out. And let's make sure." I just realized that I had to clear myself, you know, that things happen to us energetically kind of in the background, but you have to bring it to the forefront of your awareness so you're not doing that. But can I loop back to a little bit? So I talked a lot about what John Todd and his ecological team are doing, but I just want to be clear too that I haven't physically been a part of any of that work. So what I chose when I was going, and so I talked about writing up this report to present it to John Todd, and I haven't yet, but I will very, very soon, along with this radio show, so you can listen to this. And but also as a homage to my teacher and mentor, Katie Indicrow, because so the private training, maybe it was like a 3-month or a 4-month. So we would have like every other week, you know, just like pick the thing. And then, so she would give some tutelage, but then I was out in the field doing things, and like how much I learned and interacted with through her school too, is why I wanted to write this up, because it's things that are esoteric like this is not, it's hard to like, it's not hard to quantify, but I just felt really called that I thought it would be useful on both sides of the equation, the scientific and for people that are doing grid work and want to work with water. I have, of course, a lot of friends who are doing this in waterways all around the country, all around the world. And it's just nice if we, you know, we all do it differently and we all have our unique ways that we either work with crystals or with this or with that. You know, we all get our unique guidance, and probably every waterway needs something different. But that, you know, just by hearing other people's stories, like just this conversation, right? And now I'm like, ooh, shungite turtle? I'm going to buy one of those like in, you know, 2 minutes after we get off this phone call. And I'm going to play with it. And I'm going to like, it would be so, I really need to have for myself. I feel like I really want like the lab too, because we know it works. We don't have to prove it to anyone, but wouldn't it be great if we had scientific documentation to like go along with this?
Well, that's what I say about shungite, that, you know, I mean, esoteric thought, metaphysics thought is very difficult to measure, test, or quantify. But mm-hmm. Shungite presented to us allows us to do all of those things. It demonstrates what metaphysicians have been talking about forever. And it is absolutely one of the more fascinating. It's not just us. Every modality of science is looking at the fullerene, which is the molecule inside the shungite. And it's the only place on Earth where this molecule is found in great quantities.
Yeah, I made sure to do some reading. I was like, I got to go in more educated on my fullerene because I knew what it was, but I did a bunch of reading this morning so I could be more educated to hang out with you. But it's so cool. As you were saying before, I was like, we could make the water, the quality lab should be in the a Bucky Dome, right?
Well, no, because that could skew the lab results.
Oh, I see.
Because energy follows geometry.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so that's why the Buckminster Fuller is so, you know, just respected in such a way, because the comprehension of that was the key to everything. You know, that energy follows geometry in the 3D.
Now, yeah, yeah. So okay. One of my ideas for this living center is like to have not just one building, but to walk onto this land and have a spherical building, a cube building, tetrahedron building, like, and do different things in each one. And, you know, in one we do the cooking and the, like, you know, this is how we nourish our bodies. And this one is the movement one where we do the yoga and we do this. And like each, just like walking into the space, like you just, it's already conveying the sacred geometry.
And of course you have one area that is dedicated to bees.
Great idea.
Of course it's a great idea. Anytime you introduce bees to the equation.
Yeah, they go in the hexagon room, or the, that platonic solid that's hexagons.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, because the bees, again, one of the reasons that we focus on the bees is that they demonstrate what the technological pollution has done to nature. And none of this is necessary. It's just understanding enterology, you know, the study of energy. Because a Wi-Fi signal is rotating counter to what is biocompatible with life. And shungite will reverse that spin so that now it's compatible.
Hmm.
And it's all energy. You don't have to change the technology, the wiring, any of it. And it's just... Well, I could talk about shungite. I just want to hear about what else do you want to, I mean, are you going to bring people in there to study? Are you going to, what are you going to, how do you see, you know, manifesting it?
Great question, Nancy. I'm right on that curve right now, how to do it. And I've been, you know, when you have one of those moments where you don't, like, where all the things, you have a conflation moment, a zero point moment where all your stuff comes together. So I've been volunteering at my son's school, which I mentioned, and getting more involved in the behind the scenes workings. Like, I'm on the board of trustees and doing volunteer work and hosting events. And so that takes a bunch of my time, and momming my small, beautiful children. And I'm doing this grid working training, like, you know, sort of in a separate box of my life, but you know, it's great. And and we had talked about, of course, the Beehive Chamber last time I was on the show with you ladies. So I was at one of my times where I was doing my checking in, tuning in, sitting on my bench there that's by the water. Most of the time when I go to that park, you know, Stephanie teased me, like, the park that's made for you, like, I don't I haven't seen many people there until it was time for me to start sharing about it. And then people started showing up, like these cute, like, husband wife team showed up on their, like, little matching bike outfits. Like, where's that chamber? You know, so I'd show them. And then one time this lady was there, she's like, so do you know where this thing is or what? You know, she's very, like, awesome. Like, she would hang out with, she would be on this call with us. She's just great. So just like instant, you know, when you meet one of those people, they're instant friends. So I showed her the thing, and I, like, showed her some of the stuff on my phone, and I gave her the whole, like, my story there. But I, you know, I never met her before. She's like, well, it sounds like you're the one that's going to figure out all this stuff. So we were just, you know, talking about stuff, and she's retired now, and she was like, decided that she's going to like refigure out her community, and she's doing like a staycation retirement, and she had all these great, you know, so I was like, oh geez, I got to go pick up my kids. She's like, oh, where do your kids go to school? They're like, Touchstone, like to the school. And she was like, wait, you're kidding me. My kids went to school there. She's like one of the founding parents, like long-term, super supportive of the community school. And it turns out that the gentleman who owns, so the Fisherville Mill is one of the main sites that I work, and the Bernat family stewards and owns that property. There's some, you know, corporations and stuff too, but his kids also went to this school. He's the one that hired John Todd to put the living machine over there. He has a piece of land that's like next to the river that's been for sale that I've had my eye on. Like, he's in my like Rolodex, is like, I've got to talk to this gentleman. And I just, having a 0-year-old, 1-year-old, blah, 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 like, I've been biding my time, but that time is now. She's at preschool right now, so I'm having this conversation with you. Like, woohoo! So she's like, are you kidding me? I'm good friends with Jean. We're going to go out to lunch. We're all going to sit down. I'm going to hook you all up. And so that's like just happened like a month or two ago. So it's like, it's all, the curve is right now. So I see all these coming together, like projects possibly at the school, projects with the larger community. My husband is a college professor at Holy Cross, is one of the colleges here in Worcester. And he's a math professor. He's doing a math and modeling class. And he was going to go do some stuff at Woods Hole. And I was like, dude, why don't you take your class to the Blackstone? It's like behind the college. Like, go over there. So he took his class last Saturday, and they took water samples. And they're going to, they worked with the woman who runs that program. And they, like, there's a lot of people volunteering and taking water samples from the river. So he is working with that woman now, and his classes are going to do reports. So like, it's all, does that answer your question? How I'm going to do it? I'm in active.
Oh yeah. Yeah. You're going along for the ride, honey. They got it all planned out. The spiritual.
Yeah. Yeah.
World.
So
your higher self. Wow.
It's all like conflating into this now. And then interesting, like super interesting. So I did all that. I did most of my Blackstone field work, and it was like the river was training me, and I was working with the river, and I was working, you know, Katie was overseeing the project too and helping. And then it's interesting that right now where I sit, we're having these rainstorms. It's the tropical depression remnants of Florence. And when I sort of, I don't say wrapped up the project, but it was October last year that I was doing this, and we got all the Harvey and the Irma and all those storms, they all come up here, and they all, it's like it's like this massive dump of tropical moisture, which we're not super used to. Like, you guys in Florida are more used to that than we are up here. But it's, you know, how that water from the storms worked with the river, and I get to like steward it through all that and watch like the, you know, because in August, the river is obviously at a low level. But then like last October, I have some of the videos that I should post more of them on YouTube. I would just go after the storm. Like, you were talking about going to the beach, Stephanie, right? Like, I would go to the Blackstone and be like, whoa, like that, the Singing Dam that I work with, that might be a nice part of the story to talk about too. The Singing Dam was like,
yeah,
so like big and boisterous, and like, yeah, I was like, wow, like, you know, like flood. Like, why my phone is blowing up today with flash flood emergency notifications, and everyone's around me is because it's like, you know, the moisture dump affects, obviously, the rivers. Where was I going with that? Why was I talking
I might have been jamming you up because I really need you to do something for me.
Okay.
I know what you're talking about, sort of. I didn't have a time to go through every part of your, I was looking more at the videos and I got into the pictures. But energy work. You know, we've got people out there that don't have a clue as to what we're talking about regarding how you were interacting with the water itself. What were you going through? Because I can tell stories of how I assume it's happening, but just give me a snapshot of how you and the water communicate to make this new level of consciousness available to all of us?
Great question. So my first thing was, be present. You know, you have to get to know the river. So because there's all this great work that's been done by all these Blackstone people, I, you know, was on Google and looked at, there's a list on one of the Blackstone Watershed Regional Authority websites that has all the street crossings of where the Blacks, you know, every place you could drive over or near the Blackstone. And there's bike paths, like railroad tracks that have been turned to bike paths. And so I was like, well, I just better get to know where she's flowing around me. Like, and I didn't realize how close the river comes to my house here. It's like, it flows, but I was like, oh, wow. It's, you know, as the crow flies, it's quite close. So I would just really, I honored and paid attention to the path of the river. I would go and, you know, sit on a rock or sit on a, you know, find all these places. I call them access points. Places where there's like, you know, I could drive up. So I mentioned my lovely daughter, but I do a lot of this grid working, like sleeping toddler edition. So for me, it had to be, she was in the back seat asleep, and I had to be able to get to the river while that was going on. That was like most of the time, you know, I brought her sometimes, but that was has different results. she was with me and asleep. So I had all these like places where I could go. And so I would meditate, listen, see what wildlife showed up, herons, swans, dragonflies, butterflies, just like, it just kind of, so I'm trained in a vibrational awareness style of healing that's called Sat Nam Rasayan. And so I've been training in that since 1999. And it's basically like, sit with yourself, feel what you feel in your sensory field, like feel how your body is, feel what your mind is thinking, what senses, what you smell, what you taste. I think it originates in like a Sufi, just being present. It was brought to my attention through the Kundalini yoga community. And Gurudev Singh is like the master teacher of the school. So basically these trainings, you would go, like he'd have them in Mount Shasta or Sedona or, you know, in Assisi, Italy. You'd go and you'd like sit in meditation for like 8 days or whatnot. That's the training, very little talking. So I already have that skill of like the vibrational tuning. So, but we all have that.
Yeah, that's what I wanted. That's what I wanted to stop.
Every human has a sensory field. You know, it's really just like feeling. It's field theory to me. And like you can talk about it from a quantum physics way, because I'm like one of those geeks who was going through aerospace engineering school, but I took like quantum physics as my like elective. I didn't have to take that, but it was like, yeah, I gotta know about that. But that's like, it's real. You know, one of my friends, a fellow parent at the school, asked me the other day in the parking lot. He was like, you know, this energy thing you're talking about, is it like real energy? Or is it like, is it just like, and he just stopped there. And I was like, oh yeah, like you really do. Like, I was so grateful to him for asking me that question, because I was like, yeah, it's important to know. And so I sort of was like, yes, it's real energy. It's like, so you talk about electromagnetic fields. And so if you have electrons flowing through a wire, that around it makes a magnetic field, you know, like circles on circles, almost like when you throw a rock into a surface of a lake and there's ripples. That's like a visual representation of what electromagnetic field is. And then layered more subtly than that is the quantum field, where the, you know, it's like light, it's photons, it's instantaneous, it's, so where does it get to? But then you have your human sensory field is your access point to all that. So, you know, Vipassana meditation would teach, it's the same. If you go to maybe any of the shamanic schools or the this or the that, it's like, that's what I've always been wanting to study. Like, where do these field theories come together? And if you're like sitting, you know, like if you're like looking for the different elements. So the Sat Nam Rasayan, the healing school that I've been through, has, we actually use shapes, sacred geometry type shapes, as like an access point. Like if you're working with a client, you hold the cube in your field and that changes the client's energy field. So I know that's not answering your back to your question of like, what do I tell my friend in the parking lot who's asking me, is this real energy? So I said, well, yes, it is. It's just like the scientists haven't yet, they're working on it. Do you know, the scientist, the Fritz Albert Popp, who did the biophotons. Like, they have to basically, science has to get tools that are so subtle they could measure this. But they are doing that now. It's like we're living in those times where scientists are into that. Or they're, like, you know, analyzing meditators' brainwaves, and they're, so it's quantifiable and tangible-ish, but it's, so it was a long, sort of circular answer to your question. But, like, sitting next to the river and meditating and feeling what you feel when you're near the river, like, that does something.
Well, okay, right? let me stop you for a second. Let me stop you for a second. The concept of energy following geometry, okay, is where you get the construct of the 3D. But there is another rule, another law, if you will, and that's that geometry follows energy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how can you have these two versions of it? Because you're talking different energy. When you're talking quantum energy, you're talking proto-energy. It's the building block of everything that comes into the 3D. When you think, you are actually, if you're focused in the present, and this is why it's so key what you're talking about, you can't do anything about the past, and you're not going to do, forget about the present, I mean the future. You make that as you go along, but if you're not solid in your foundation at the present time, you said, where do all these fields, you know, sort of meet up? In the human mind, human consciousness. Mm-hmm. But the only way you can access that is to go to the zero point in your own mind.
Mm-hmm.
And once you're at the zero point, not only do you open the quantum field, but you open up fields because of an energy field, because it's beyond even the quantum. The quantum is a builder. We use it to build things. But the creation is required by human thought. You cannot have manifestation without human thought, without thought. I mean, because it's not necessarily human, but you have to have thought. And so you create a thought form of energy, all right? And then the power to build from the quantum follows that pattern and creates.
Shunya is the word for the zero point field in the yoga traditions. That's like... You know, I said there was not much training, not much talk in the training. He would say things like, merge, shunya. It's like zero state, zero point field. Yeah.
Well, you've gone through a lot of formal type of training. I've gone through other training. But when we tell this to people, it's kind of hard for them, many people, to ever even imagine that point. Is there something that you've learned to be able to kind of like at least give them a feeling of what we're talking about?
Sure. Do you want me to do like a guided meditation-y thing right now and feel it? Or is that what you mean?
Absolutely. If you feel comfortable. Stephanie, does that sound good?
Yes, absolutely. Please go for it.
Yeah, it's super simple and super accessible, and anyone can do it anytime.
Okay, now, the last time... Oh, you were toning the last time. This is a meditation.
Yeah, yeah.
But we got to give people warning that, you know, if you're driving, please don't listen to this hum or something and listen to it on an archive or YouTube.
Yeah.
Okay.
Actually, this is fine. This one you can do anywhere in any way. But yeah, except for the shut your eyes part. Yeah, if you're driving. But So however you are, wherever you are, if you're sitting, standing, whatever, notice yourself and what parts of you are touching. You know, say I'm sitting in a chair right now, so I'll use that as reference. And if you're in a car seat, that's cool. And if you're, you know, walking, you can notice your feet, but like what parts of you are touching an earth-based surface, like a chair or the floor? And what parts of you are more open to feeling air? And notice your skin. Are there any places on your body that your body's touching itself? Like, are you cross-legged or like for me, I have right now, I noticed I have my fingers on my cheekbone. I'm kind of like holding myself up, thinker pose. So I'm feeling where my fingers touch my cheek. So what part of your body, anyone who's listening to this, is speaking to you? So the body speaks to you in this constant language of sensation. So what are you feeling? And then hang out and just, they call it allowing, right? Just like be with that sensation of what you're feeling. And then the human awareness field shifts, right? Your attention or your thoughts, like another part of your body, or maybe a car goes by and you hear a horn beep. Let's do that one. Notice what you're hearing right now. And then go back to, like, what's your butt sitting on right now? Is it on a chair? If you're standing up, then use your feet instead. And then see how those two things interact, what you're hearing and how your body is sitting or standing. So for me, when I first started working this technique, it's there are little blips or moments of when you're in that field that you asked. Do you feel like that brought you there, Nancy, that technique?
Well, yeah, but I kind of live there.
Yeah, you said you were.
Amazing. And I have to tell you that when you got to the point of merging what you're hearing with what you're feeling, it like was like, I felt like my consciousness just sort of, I could feel my consciousness. You know, because when you said hearing and feeling, it's like your hearing is locked into your consciousness. And so by analyzing the hearing, I really began to perceive my, up in the upper head area, ooh, there's my consciousness. And I felt... Yes, you zero point immediately, but as you talked, I could feel the limits, borders, definition of my own 3D body. And that is someplace I've never been before.
It's cool, right?
Right, yes. Very cool.
Thank you so much. This is fun. It's fun. It's fun to share, too. I'm supposed to be doing this more. It's interesting to me, like, so I have all this knowledge, and then I didn't know I was going to go here with this, but that there's a lot of this. So I grew up sort of getting trained in, like, a lot of different yoga schools, and they all have this, like, what we'd call, and I'll decode it for people, but, like, this 4D looping thing that goes on where, like, or, like, the religions have, or the, like, gurus have, or the this or the that, where it's, like, you have to defer to this school or this lineage or this style. And this technique is like, it's pure source, universal technique. But I learned it through this very exacting, have to do all this Kundalini yoga, have to like do all this. And I was, you know, everyone else is wearing white and in turbans and I'm like in red and purple in the back of the room. Like, yeah, I'm not doing any of your Kriyas and they don't work for me, but I just like would go and sit and be in the field too. So I'm not like quote unquote certified to teach it in that way, but I'm like extremely masterful, gifted and talented teacher of it. So it's like, I'm at that precipice too of like, am I supposed to be opening my own like quote unquote healing school? But the word healing has its limitations too. It's just like, it's just fun for me to share. And I'm at that like place in my quote unquote career of like, how does all this come together for me too? But I do it one-on-one with clients and so many of my close peeps and people that I love, like, did yoga classes with me for like 15 years. And I loved teaching, you know, like hatha yoga, movement exercise, blah, blah, blah. I just am not like there anymore. And this is where I want to be, like offering this stuff. And that's what I'm doing. But it's like a bridge. I'm off on this tangent now, but I'm like, I was just, as we did this, I was like, yeah, I should be like doing classes like this all the time. I just don't know quite what to call it. Or people like branch off and like make their own, you know, I'm not going to call it the Julie Roberts School of Healing or the, you know, like, you know, any of my center inner space. So anyway, that's in a tangent, but I feel like just doing this with all of you, it's
well, really my feeling, there is plenty of schools out there. But the
it's such an old paradigm, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's like my recommendation would be to follow your heart, and your heart is to actually get your hands dirty. You know, and as you're getting your hands dirty and you're building new modalities of interaction with nature, you know, well, come on this radio show. Have your own radio show. Just talk to people. I mean, that's what we do here, because we know that by us getting together and having these shows, we are influencing the collective consciousness. So, I mean, people have said to me, don't you want to go talk, or, you know, do you take on? I don't do any of that. I'm an individual giving you my perspective on reality. I'm not saying it should be yours. But if you find things in my reality that jive with you, then they're yours. I will help you in any way I can. And meanwhile, I'm going to go do what I want to do, you know, and give this as part of what I, yeah, I'll give you any of my knowledge. No problem. Here it is. Because we're kind of beyond talking about it. You know, we got to start demonstrating it in every way we can. And not by getting up in pontification of a particular theory or position.
Yeah. You brought me to tears in the last show, and here I go again. It's so beautiful. Like, I'm so grateful to you and your holding this space and having this platform. And, you know, we were prepping for the, like, last time, you're like, yeah, I don't, it's my platform. It's like, yeah, look at this rock star. She just figured it out. She's got this like radio network. Woohoo.
Well, I don't think of myself as a rock star. But I do love the fact that I didn't plan this. You know, it was one of those weird things where when I wrote the first book, the 9/11 Crusade, and was on a radio show, an internet, I didn't know what this was. What are you talking about? Yeah. And as soon as I went through it, I went, oh my God, this is the future. Because I've been a writer, a communicator for, you know, 70 years. This is the future. So I sort of like said to somebody, hey, because I always find that I'd rather build it than join it. It's just the way I am. And so I said to some people, I said, hey, you got the money, you've got the technical abilities, and I've got the showmanship. So let's get together and build one of these internet radio things. Right? And they go, nah, 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 nah. Okay. So I dropped it. And then through a whole bunch of weird circumstances, I actually thought I was going on a show to be a guest. No, they were asking me to be a co-host. So, I mean, I never, you know, and then, it's amazing when I don't know whether I manifested it or whether I got a glimpse of what I wanted in my heart. That my soul, my higher self, you know, whoever's in charge, just had already orchestrated a whole storyline to get me to the point that I can say to you, come on my radio station and make a difference to the collective consciousness.
Woohoo!
You know what I'm saying?
That's it. Home is where the heart is. You know, when your heart starts to resonate with a certain frequency, it leads you to the path that's certain to take you home. So that's it, Julie. There's no need to put any limits on anything. You know, everything we did building and getting our hands dirty and training, you know, it was all a path to lead us home.
Yay. Well, the sky's just open. And it's just, as you said that stuff, you just started like pouring. in a really good way.
Purification.
Yeah. We're at the top of the hour, so I'm going to put on a song. And when we come back, Julie, I'd like you to tell me what that water feels like, what that sense of energy being carried by that particular storm that got so much notoriety, poor thing.
Yeah.
Okay. So, and we're going to do Jessica L. Seri's Water.
The water, all I want is the sea, to feel that sunshine, that warm ocean breeze. I know life is good with a routine, but sometimes I need somewhere to be free. I will search until I find somewhere to calm my mind and feel all the goodbyes inside. Wash with the water, wash in the sea. Live by the water, live to be free. Just feel the peace. Let your mind wander and let it all be. This earth is a privilege that some may not know. Don't take it for granted, 'cause we reap what we sow. We are so blessed to have what we have. Share good intentions and it'll all come back. I will search until I find somewhere to calm my mind and feel all the good vibes inside. Wash with the water, wash in the sea. Live by the water, live to be free. Heal with the water. Just feel the peace. Let your mind wander and let it all be. All I want is the water. All I want is the sea. To feel that sunshine, somewhere to be free. Wash with the water. Wash in the sea, live by the water, live to be free, heal with the water, just find the peace, let your mind wander, and let it all be, let your mind wander.
Okie dokie, I want to sit here for a second. I want to just sort of like say something about what just happened with the music. That music, if you sat and you listened to it, put you into a particular framework of energy. I want you to feel that energy. Feel what you're feeling inside your body. And then I want you to think about that river, that Blackstone River that's running and polluted and dirty and awful. It doesn't have to be. It does not have to be. Think of it pure. Think of it absolutely pure, and everything it touches, pure, and just let it go. Okay, you're listening to the Shungite Radio Show. It is September 18th, 2018. We have myself, Nancy Hopkins, and Stephanie Dietz, and Julie Roberts. And Julie, I love your name because it's so easy to remember. It's an E instead of A. Welcome back.
I know, I'm a Benici at heart, but I now I'm a Roberts. It's funny how we change names sometimes when we get married, right?
And there's a whole study of the numerology, of, or the nameology, it's called. The study of names and what happens when you change your name. Very mm-hmm. interesting.
Yeah.
Because it's an energy thing. Again, and we're talking numerology here, you know. It's an energy thing. So is anybody going to say anything?
Well, I was just tuning into the water like you asked me to.
Yeah. And well, I wanted to say something about the water. You know, all of these hurricanes, I was listening to this very insightful man. His name is Jacob Israel on YouTube. Follow Jacob's Ladder. And he talks about the quantum structure, but just the world, where we're going in truth, related to prophecy. And he said that Hurricane Florence means flower, to bloom. You will bloom a new day. And then there was two other hurricanes out there, Helene and Isaac. Helene means when the light comes, and Isaac means you shall laugh. And Jacob actually referred to all of these as the dragon flood and the purification of the new day upon us. So the whole thing is amazing in relation to the dragon comet and all of this with the water. This is all prophecy, and the new day is here, and we all shall laugh.
Oh, can I jump in here for a second? I just got a flash. Okay, so Florence has put all this water all over the eastern part of the United States, right? It's got the same frequency. We can do another meditation, exactly. And I would ask you, Julie, to do it, to actually use what Gaia has just given us, a platform of energy, like a field of energy, to be able to make a massive change. Does that sound right?
Yeah, it sounds great. And one of my, I'm putting in air quotes, which you can't see on the radio show, but one of my jobs as like a planetary grid worker this last month is watching these, or like conducting the energy, if you will, of the storms and their paths. So I spend a lot of time, you know, looking at radar maps, like watching where the storms go, following that, you know, trajectories. And this just needs to come in. I didn't think we were going to talk about this today, but so before these storms came, I got a call. So what does that mean? I don't have like things that come down and show up in my yard in human form and talk to me in human words, but it's like your attention field. Like something will like grab my attention out of the edges. And the thing that grabbed my attention about beginning of September was the Mid-Atlantic Ridge. So it's like, if we picture the ocean floor, imagine the earth as if the water was gone and the ocean floor was like a, you know, whatever, another planet, like the surface of Mercury or Mars. And you can just see all the different hills. And so the Atlantic Ridge is like sort of like the continental divide in the North American continent, but it's where tectonic plates meet. So I watch these storms come from off of the coast of Senegal and form, and like where they move their path through the Atlantic Ocean, and then where they touch land, and then their path along. So that's something I pay attention to. But these pictures, and I found one in particular, Stephanie, that I'll send to you, the pictures of this Mid-Atlantic Ridge, it's the same picture as the Draco constellation. It's like, it looks like a dragon. It is a dragon. So I've been working with it sort of behind the scenes, like dragon form. And there's like something about the comet and these light codes and the Mid-Atlantic Ridge and these storms. I just wanted to echo what you said. Like it's all.
And the autumn equinox and your birthday and we could just go on, right? Every day.
And this is, I'm going to do a shout out to my sister-in-law, Renee. Her birthday is today. And we were talking numerology of the 999. I've got a lot of September, this corridor friends, equinox birthday friends, and her daughter too. And So you asked about the water. So yeah, this water, this Florence. I love, thank you so much for sharing that Jacob's Ladder stuff. It just really coincides with a lot of what I've been feeling. So you want more of an experiential thing, Nancy, like I did before, like feeling the water and spreading our vibes?
Yeah, I think that we can use it as a carrier wave. You know what a carrier wave? Because it's the same frequency. It came from every particle of water went through the same path. And its place in space creates a certain signature. That's why everything has a different signature. This particular signature is now blanketing and in the soil of a vast amount of the United States.
Yeah.
And what I suggest is that we use that field of water as if it was a huge lake.
Yes.
Okay? And that, you know, yes, feel it, step them through so they can make that interconnection, and then... You know, like I say, put whatever intent you're led to put into it.
Great. What an honor and a privilege and a pleasure.
Same at you.
So everyone who's listening, live or replay friends, find a comfortable way to be. Like sit, lean up against the wall if you're like at your cubicle at work, or pull over, stop driving your car for now, and sit with your car seat. And take a moment, please, and close your eyes. And go back to that feeling sense of your own human form. Feel the part of you that's touching the chair. Feel your feet on the floor. And then bring your attention up to your eyes. And let your eyeballs in their eye sockets, let them relax, or encourage them to relax. And then relax your lips. And then go back up to your eyes. And let the eyes become like pools of water. And then bring into your mind's eye, your inner eye. Picture a map that showed the Atlantic Ocean. And a wide lens. So you can see Africa, you can see Brazil and South America and Europe and the United States, North America. And the ever important Caribbean islands, they dot. And then imagine, I'm sure many of us looked at these pictures because they were all over the media, right? The vortexes of energy that these storms are. And how they themselves are vortexes. But then they're also following this vortex path from the coast of Africa out across the sea over that energetic bump of the mid-Atlantic and then up the coast, up through the Appalachian Trail, if you will, up the mid-Atlantic and up here where I live. To New England and then over Nova Scotia and then all the way across again. And some go up to Iceland and some go over to Ireland and Scotland. And just see that vortex. And then you can let that go. Like thinking about that or holding that in your field. bring your attention down into your belly. And pay attention to your breath pulsing in and out. And it fills you up inside and lifts your belly flesh and expands your rib cage and lungs when you breathe in. And it softens you and empties you and relaxes you as you breathe out. So just hang out with that pulse, that in and out flow. And then bring your attention down to the basin of your pelvis, like it was a bowl or a chalice, like a cup, or even like a big lake bottom filled with water. And every time you breathe out, let your outgoing breath swirl the surface of this pelvic basin lake that you're creating inside, or that you're tuning into. It's always there. And then what I'm hearing right now is the softly falling rain. So you can come here and hear that with me. And feel how the rain ripples on the surface of your inner lake, the inner ocean. And then imagine each puddle, so this tropical moisture that's moved from Wilmington, North Carolina, and like up and in and around, wrapped over through Georgia and of course South Carolina, and then up through like you would imagine grains of sand on a beach. Just bring into your field of awareness every puddle that's been created, every lake that's been filled, every parking lot that's been filled, every basement that's been filled. Every receptacle that's out there containing this sacred Atlantic, Atlantis water. And the storms are, they're a spiral for a reason, right? Because the vortex energy cleans and purifies and magnetizes and transforms. So start a whirlpool on the surface of your inner basin or your inner lake. And then in a reflective way, every puddle, every lake, every basement, every parking lot, every street that's been flooded, every river that's been filled. I noticed on this morning's map that this Florence particularly is going like across New Hampshire and the White Mountains right about now and across Maine and then over to Nova Scotia. Every basin, every river, every lake that you've just held in your field of awareness. And I'm going to offer you an intention to put in, but you please craft your own, please say your own words, either out loud or in your mind's eye, in your inner ear. May all the water on this planet run free and clear. May the water in your body, your human body, flow free and clear. And your blood and your plasma may these spinning vortexes clear away any old programs, any outdated DNA coding, any incoherency. May this sweet, purifying rain clear away any self-doubt, fears, long-stuck emotions. For water does many things, but one of the big things it does is carries emotional code. So set another swirl around, clearing away anything that just came into your, you know, things pop up to the surface to be cleared, to be flown out of the field. Let the winds of the storm carry all that away. What needs to leave your field and is no longer yours, no longer Earth's, no longer water's. And let's return all these little pools or puddles or surfaces or collection basins of water. Let's return them all back to source, back to the ocean. May every drop of water here on planet Earth run clear and free. And if you still have your eyes closed, you can open them up.
Or would you like to cement this in with some toning?
Sure. That's a great idea. Thanks, Nancy.
Thank you.
That was perfect, Nancy. Nice suggestion. I like teamwork.
Well, I think we did a good job today. I'm so appreciative of you. Okay, so where were we before we went off into
that Stephanie wonderful... Stephanie was talking about dragons.
Dragons, yes. I knew we had a subject. Stephanie, dragons.
Dragons. But before we go there, I just have to... impart an impression that I had during this whole thing. So when we started and you went down, you know, to the belly and the emotional codes, all of a sudden I saw the whole world in the belly of the whale. And today is the high holy day, Yom Kippur, the day of atonement. And on this day, you know, traditionally they talk about Jonah and the whale. You know, Jonah was a prophet. God told him to warn the people that they were headed for destruction if they, you know, continued their selfish ways on earth, and he didn't listen. So Creator sent a raging storm after him, and the whale swallowed him. And what did he do? He sat for all those days. I think it was the 3 days in his transformation, in his darkness and solitude. And I saw the whole world in that transforming, because today is a day to face the darkness and actually examine it all and open yourself up to all of that forgiveness and transformation, because there is no time like the present now to broaden your consciousness and open the size of your vessel. How much light can enter? How much can you expand through the act of cleansing? So those were the emotional water codes that were impressed upon me for the collective.
Wow, that was a great link in. Thank you. Whales have been, you know how you, like, you're like with the dragons? I'm a lot more with the whales.
Well, yeah, I'm more with sense. I'm more with the whales too. That's where that whole thing came from. My daughter's the dragon. Okay.
Funny, my son's the dragon. All right, so whale mamas produce dragon babies. Good to know.
But yeah, I was like, wow, what a cleansing process. You know, what a day of power for all of this water. And again, all of these prophecies that we're all experiencing now, just true transformations. It is beautiful. So thank you again. It was such a gift on this day and an opportunity for all of us.
And Nancy, let's put in, you know what I didn't do? Because I'm like, you're training me right now. We didn't put any shungite in. Hello.
Oh, I prepared the field. I prepared the field.
We're always connected to that field. All right.
Note to self: throw some shungite in there, Jules. Okay.
Okay. So, but let me explain what I did. When you were talking people back into the zero point, right? I just went there and proceeded to set up a certain, let's say, a frequency through the field, okay, that we're working with, mm-hmm. that is essentially the shungite weave. Mm-hmm. Because trees have weaves. Water has weave. So we've got water weave, we've got shungite weave, and they've been working together for the last, oh, I don't know, probably 18 months. So all I did was, you know, because what we're doing is witnessing. We're not doing. We are witnessing the powers of our own thoughts and the magic of Gaia and the nature spirits. So I asked the weave to lower to merge with the water, and then connected with all of the nature spirits in and around that entire, anybody that was there, the jinn, the angels, anybody, you know, so that they are all lined up. Because I've done energy work like this, and you have amazing, amazing, amazing energetic devices and people and spirits and all this. But the thing that makes it work is human thought. So mm-hmm. I went there and prepared the field so that by the time you guys got there focusing on it, it was a done deal. As soon as it's quantum physics, you don't have reality unless somebody looks at it, a human. Or, you know, other species, but in our case, human. You know, and so it was just amazing to kind of like watch it happen again. So yeah, the shungite was there. The shungite's everywhere.
Yeah.
I tell people you really don't need to have the shungite in your 3D possession. All you have to do is tune into the shungite energy grid that's around the planet. And it's like a big hug from Gaia. There's nothing dark or problematic that can get inside the weave. It's always pure. And if you just tap into it, it will It's not that it's Shungite is a tool, okay, a natural tool to teach us, like training wheels on a bicycle, what our powers really are. And in from that standpoint, it's a sacred object. It's guiding us to our spiritual awesomeness, if you will. So yeah, it was there, but thank you for remembering. Are you muted? Anybody?
Oh, I'm here. I was just listening to the whales. I was listening to the whales. Stephanie,
so let's talk about this this green comet. Is this that Incredible Hulk comet or that Dragon Ball Z comet that they're talking about that's bringing the codes? Tell us what this is.
So, yeah, it's I've heard people call it the green comet or the... I kind of put that dragon, I think I coined the phrase, the dragon balls from the eyes as my subject line in my blog yesterday. But this, so this comet, it's comet 21P, and P just means like it's periodic and it moves through. So this is the 21st comet that they've discovered. It was discovered or first observed in 1900. And it's periodic, comes back every 6.5-ish years. And its path draws a big oval out past Jupiter all the way into, like, it kind of grazes against the Earth's orbital path and then out and around. And if you want to see any pictures of this, I wrote up an article for my website, a blog article that you can look on, innerspacehealing.org. And we'll probably put the link to it here if people want to see. But there's like pictures always help me. But anyway, it orbits around. So it comes around and so the debris field of, you know, when a comet goes, it's just like it's a space rock and like stuff falls off of it as it goes. And then that debris field, almost like, you know, in Star Wars where they flew into the asteroids and they could land on them. And like, so this isn't a whole giant field like that. But it's tiny particles. So when they hit the Earth's atmosphere, they burn up and they produce light and heat. And that's what we get as a meteor shower. So the comet is the like thing that the big rock that moves through space. And the meteors are produced by the little dust trails. And so you have to have something, you know, that in a like it has to be excited to produce that light code or that heat and light. So there's two things that we have going on. The comet moving through the, like, from our view. So if you were sitting in a planetarium and the big dome surface of the planetarium, that's what astronomers call the celestial sphere. So as if the whole universe is projected on the ceiling of the dome. So the comet has a path through the nighttime or daytime too, but we see it at nighttime sky. But then, so that the comet got very close to the sun and Earth on September 10th and did some cool stuff then. But then also, so October, the Draconids meteor showers happen annually in the beginning of October. They often peak around October 8th and 9th because that, you know, the Earth goes around the sun and it often comes back around to that same point at the beginning of October. And they're like that trail of debris is sitting there in space and Earth orbits around the sun and comes back and touches it or moves through it. So the meteor shower is all those little sparks hitting the atmosphere, grazing along it. I mean, all those particles that then graze along and become sparks. So that's what we'd see at the night sky. So the it's called the Draconid. So meteor showers are named for what they call the radiant, meaning where they come from in the sky. Like, should I look to the south? Should I look to the north? And then what constellation is there on that celestial sphere? So in the ancient, not ancient, because it was like early 1900s, but actually it's interesting. Who knows like how long this comet was around? Just because some astronomer noticed it in 1900 doesn't mean the comet wasn't there before and ancient cultures didn't see it too. You know, some of them come and go, but some people talk about this one as like the meteorites coming from the Draco constellation, which is shaped like a dragon, and particularly coming out of the head or the eyes or the mouth of the dragon. So there are some like parables and myths about that kind of thing. So what else should we say about that? So it, you know, this light, you know, we talk about codes, we talked about some of the water codes, like light codes directly communicate with the human energy field, pineal gland, and at a cellular level, the DNA. You know, we're talking about some of the leaders in the field or the way showers. Do you guys know Fritz Albert Popp, that German physicist that did all the biophoton research and coherent photon light?
I don't think so.
Anyway, he's fascinating to, like, so he's one of the people, like, what we're after, what you're after to do with shungite, he was after to do with, so biophotons are particles that the body both produces and receives. It's kind of how, like, photonic light comes and interfaces with the human energy field.
So, you got to get me a link to him. He sounds fascinating. I'd like to look at
him. I will, for sure.
Thank you.
Should we go back to practical? Like, that's very, we're waxing quite esoteric and metaphysical, which is cool. That's where we hang out. But so what about the, you know, at the end of my blog post, I was like, all right, so what does that have to do with anything about me, like, you know, getting my kids to school on time or, you know, living a life, like trying to be nice to my husband and, like, you know, the stuff that really matters. for me, it's like, we get caught up in this like day-to-day stuff. Like for me, I get like some of that zero point feeling when I like pull my awareness back and just like look at things from a, like a big picture, cosmic. This is the cosmic reality show, right? The cosmic point of view. It just even helps like on that level. But then there's also the, you know, ascension is about like, ascension is about raising one's vibration. And how like light descends down to meet us on this human field, and we ascend from this human field up to the light. And it's like this like what you were talking about before of three, you know, the 3D up to the infinite and quantum. It's like this two coming together. So, you know, us looking up at the night sky, and like, of course, anytime any of us have seen a shooting star, it's kind of like the rainbow magic, right? Rainbows light everybody up because they're so fun. If you see a shooting star, it's just like, whoa, it doesn't it make you excited? Like I've always.
Yeah, because it's energy. Like,
yeah.
It's a, see, it, we think, we oh, the visual, the, you know, no, it's energy. If people began to pay attention to the details and saw the energy. Now, I wonder to just throw something out there at you. We have had people who have acquired higher intuition, higher empathy, higher compassion, an energy that goes beyond what we consider the normal, average kind of human frequency. I think at this moment in time, our species is being prepped to do it as a species. Not one here, one there, maybe one there. No, the entire species is going to make a leap in consciousness. And I think that that's why you keep hearing from a lot of different sources how important it is where we are, mm-hmm. how mm-hmm. honored we should be to be here. And to give you an example of how I think it has to turn around, as you were speaking through the merging with the water, I realized that you were presenting the reality that the water was working with humanity to clean and to change and to energize, whereas the 3D matrix reality wants to be fearful of it. So your home is sacrificed because the waters, the floodwaters, are coming in cleaning. You should be honored that you could sacrifice your home to do that much for nature instead of being fearful of it. Kind of a different perspective on it, hey?
That's a leap.
Yeah.
I get it. I'm there with you. I'm on the other side of the cliff, but yeah. It's a leap for humanity, right? It's a level up of our collective consciousness.
Right, and there's so many things that are allowing us to do it, including the internet. You know, we wouldn't be able to energize so many minds, you know, in a given time. Because, of course, even the people that listen to this, you know, 30 years into the future on some 30-year-old YouTube, you know, they're going to be here, right here, where we are. That's why, I mean, I'm sure you're detecting it. The energies are just like, you know. And it's not just because of us or because of the people listening to us. It's for the people that, on all levels. You know, I've been told by somebody who I happen to have a tremendous respect for, that when we do these shows, it's not just the 3D that's listening to it. He said there's galactic and etheric beings that wait to listen to your shows.
Huh.
Isn't that weird? But I mean, why not?
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
like the space bar in Star Wars. Yeah. All just hanging out, waiting for the broad, like the airport. They're at the airport and you're like CNN running on the TV shows. That's
well,
awesome.
He said that he said they actually have listening groups. They get together, party, and listen to the shows.
Well, hi, guys. That's an honor that they might be. Yeah, that's. Hi.
Yeah, one time somebody was questioning what I was saying, and they said to me, they texted me on the side, and they said, "I don't know what you're talking about." I said, "I'm talking to the etherics," and she said, "Oh, okay." She knew about him. Dolly Howard, one of our hosts. So,
some might say, like, planets. So, all right, if we picture, like, from a cosmological, like, if you look at picture the Milky Way galaxy. And, you know, that's that spiral, looks a lot like a hurricane, right? But that, our galaxy is also moving through time and space. And so there's a whole aspect of what's going on right now that some people call it the photon belt. You know, you heard about that, like we're moving through a part of space that's more encoded, that has more, streams of knowledge. Like it's like a cosmic stream or string, if you will. And there's a whole, this is a conversation for another time, but one that fascinates me for sure.
Let's have it now.
They talk about the yugas or the cycles of time,
yes,
the epics,
yes,
of time,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes.
And moving through as a spiral, since we're talking about spirals, and that like ascension is really like, you know, there's a golden age and the like moving through, and then there's a silver age and the bronze age and then the dark age. And then, so we're at that point, like what, to me, what that always presents, because I see it from, you know, that Vedic lineage wisdom teachings, but then as from like a astrophysics scientist point of view, it's like, oh, there are these cosmic streams. And like, maybe we're like, as the Earth right now is moving through that particle bits from that one particular comet, 21P, our galaxy is also moving through the larger whirlpool of the universe and space, and so it's encountering these like similar, I hate the term debris field, but that's what they, you know, astrophysicists call it, but like we'll talk about it, like potentials or silver balls that one could spark that like deliver all these codes and knowledge. And like, so ascension is a, you know, it's like, it's when our galaxy moves through that part of space that has more of these light encodements, that's when we're in a golden age. And then we'll spiral back around. And then, you know, that's where we're not in that part of the galaxy. Like there's parts of the galaxy that have more dark matter or dark space or open space. So that's like when human collective kind of goes to that forgetful state. And then we like come back. And as we're coming towards this like outpouring from universal source, from the center of the universe, for, you know, and that, we talked about it a little bit, Stephanie, last time I was on your show, about that gets like rebroadcast through every star, through every center of the galaxy. So our galaxy moving through that stream of, if you will, is why I think what you said, Nancy, like why we're in that place of, you know, the Mayan calendar predicted that. It's all in so I know a lot about what the Vedic, you know, the Indian continent talks about. But you could go to South America, listen to the shamans in Peru, or you could go to the Inuit up in Alaska, and they might tell you the same tales.
Or you can come to Cosmic Reality, and Nancy Hopkins will tell you a story. See,
intergalactic story.
Okay, let's take it back down to a very 3D science here. What's happening? Yes, we not only are moving around the sun is moving. So our pattern, the pattern is always a spiral of movement. As we revolve yeah. around the sun moves. You're making exactly a spiral. So as we're spiraling, the galaxy is got a black hole in the center of it. And when we get to this position every 27,000 years or so,
yes.
we're looking directly into the black hole. It's like looking down the barrel of a gun. And people think that a black hole sucks everything in. Well, it does, but as it sucks it in, it also blasts out other energies. And those are the energies that we're confronting. And they are able to detect the massive field of, like you say, debris, but it's actually being thrown out from the black hole. And as they're looking at it, they saw, because they can get spectrographic reading on what they're looking at, they discovered that the vast percentage of the field, which we call the proton belt, is actually carbon. Okay, which means carbon is what fuels the sun, which fuels us. I mean, carbon is one of the major building blocks of everything. So as the sun began to go into this particular region, it began to get a lot of fuel. It started burning hotter. That's why we do not have a yellow-orange sun. We have a white sun. Okay? All right, when you put that much power into a fire, for lack of another concept, you actually create instability. So in a fire, you know how you got the fire going and it's yellow and it's orange and it's really pretty and everything, and then it burns a little hotter and it gets white. Okay, and then it goes dark. Okay? So there for an instant, sometimes more than an instant, you'll see just the dark smoldering embers, which are essentially the hottest it's going to get. Because an instant later, you'll see a flash of white, and then boom, it'll burst back into yellow. That's what the sun is in the process of going through.
Yes.
And it's happened continually through history. And the thing of it is that from our standpoint, not only are we in a proton belt full of all of this amazing building blocks, but we're about to get like a burst of energy that will solidify those building blocks into what people call the ascension, which is just an upgrade in the human species. And
exactly.
So right now is the timing of all this stuff coming together. And like the storm, you know, nobody should be seeing this as fearful. It's a change. It's an upgrade. It's a bath of light instead of rain. You know, and embrace it. Get centered. Listen to what Julie's just presented you. You know, a few minutes of listening to her and you're going to be able to feel that inner space of zero point, and then after a few times of her stepping you through it, you'll know how to get there by yourself. And you continually do it through the day. Oh, this is uncomfortable. Boom. Go to your zero point. Become the observer. Yes, Julie?
Woo, 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 woo. I'm doing a little dance party over here waiting for you to finish. Woo, woo, woo. It's so exciting to talk to you about this stuff. It's like, you know, I did that Blackstone River write-up. Like I have a bunch of like write-ups that I need to do. And one of them is on this very topic of the, cause we're at like what that whole, my end of the Mayan calendar thing was we're at this moment where we're like the 2012 thing was there's three of these different cycles, like you just described, coming together in one moment of like, we've gone like the galaxy around the center of the universe, our planet around our solar system around the center of the galaxy, and our planet around the center of the solar system, like it's all like where we are at is like all this stream of light and knowledge coming to us. And then I wanted to mention too that people.
Well, I got to tell you this. Yeah. Okay, because there's one other thing that is making this time and place and space the most amazing, awesome thing to be experiencing, and that is that it also is entangled with dimensions.
Okay.
And that's why the whole our universe is looking at this, because it's like the dimensions have a beat, a pulse, and the beat and pulse is now at a point where it's going to match up. When you've got a line and energy flowing through it that meets a line of the same energy flowing in the opposite direction, you have a zero point. And that's what it is. It's like all of a sudden they're going to be at a complete balance of the universe's energetic field to create a zero point between dimensions.
And at those zero points, I feel like what some people describe is the up-leveling, or like a picture of hurricane, and it's at a certain, or your airplane is flying at, say, 30,000 feet. You can up-level to 40,000 feet. And like the whole thing that we just described, that whole thing like ba-ching, pops up. And that's, to me, that's what the dimensions are, like pops up to the next expanded spiral.
Yeah, it's just science. Enterology.
Something I wanted to say. It is. It's really science-y. Astrophysics unite. Cosmologists unite. So a lot of people, you know, we had touched briefly on the whole starseed, ET races, like all what that stuff is like you were talking about the carbon coming through. You know, was it, you'll correct me, is it Joan Baez who's like, we are star stuff, you know, the songs from the 60s, like that we are all like, we can all imagine that we're star stuff, and that the stuff that makes our bodies, the stuff that makes our planet has come from other parts of the universe, galaxy. So there's like there's a cellular memory to those particles that are now your body, that are now the Earth. So I don't know. That whole thing to me is more about dimensional travel. And yeah, sure, there's ships and there's tons of other forms of life. But like why we have these feelings of like, oh, I'm Pleiadian, or oh, I'm this, or oh, I'm that. It's like there are particles in you that came from that star system. And now they're in your body. Like you are the universe. We are all inner space. And we're outer space too.
Well, when you think in terms of dimension, people think in terms of location. You know, when we talk dimension, we're also talking about our own selves. We're about to meet a whole bunch of versions of our own selves.
Sweet.
I hope we like them. And that's the key. You know, reality is what we think it is. So if here, Nancy Hopkins in this particular 3D version of her, you know, can maintain a more coherent field of energy, focus, and thought, then they're all going to come over to my version instead of those that may be in fear and doom and gloom and panic, and maybe in some of them I'm not even there, you know. And that's what I think the key is for master light workers to focus on. Not so much of what the influence is on the outside. Get yourself together on the inside.
It's self-selected by your attention field.
Exactly.
Like what you put your attention on, you self-select. And the world you want, that whole thing of like, you know, your thoughts and your words create reality. Of course they do. Like every single moment, every single thing that you think, every single thing that you say, everything, like, we all know this, but it's like bears saying too, since the galactics are listening, we want them to know that we get it now. We've always gotten it.
Well, that, you know, part of what we have to do is get to a point where you say it, you do it, you own it.
Yeah.
All right. Why would I say this is a critical thing to do? It's because this is what we're here to do. We're here to experience, learn quickly, explain it to people, and get on with it. It's not a matter of blame, right or wrong. It's like, oh, that didn't work. You know? And not to put our ego or, you know, because it's also fear-based. You know, just drop the fear and your powers will just light up.
One of my friends and great mentor, his name is Jerry. He's offered us these teachings in core living. It's like responsibility. It's the self-selection, but you practice it until it becomes organic, and then it's free flow, and then it's who you are and what you do, and it's in every moment. And so, like, for all of us, like, we undergo different, you know, I call them trainings, but, you know, life circumstances, like things that drive you in this direction, and you meet people and you get inspired, or you take this yoga class, or you do this, you get like all these things that, you know, help you find that what we've been calling the zero point. But then this like self-responsibility and self-selection is a moment by moment. You build your reality, the quantum reality that you live in, moment by moment, thought by thought.
Yes. Steph, are you there?
I totally agree. This reality structure is a code matrix of the quantum hologram. So when we change the code of the structure from the frequency of our heart, you're shifting the consciousness. That old 3D earth was just an archon structure. And I totally agree when Nancy says, you know, we're going to be meeting all of these versions of ourselves. The egos have been kicked off the stage now. So it's extremely exciting.
What's your next project, Julie? or the one you're going to, one of them, pick one of them.
Yeah. Well, that's such a great question. I have some like stuff, grid worky. One of my friends, Allie, called it a planetary mission or planetary trip. Like I have some stuff to do for Equinox. My friend and mentor, Katie Indicrow, is coming down to this area. So I'm hosting her for a week. So that'll be dynamic and very interactive. That's going to be super fun. And I better get this water quality lab off the ground, huh, Nancy? Like it's it's like with the planning ahead, like we're in this free flow zone and I just have to like see where the waters take me, right? And how things go. And I don't always know what I'll be doing or where I'll be doing it. It's just you hear the call, right? And you answer it.
You might want to go and take a sample of the water in the river.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, you know, don't wait to determine if, in fact, we made a difference.
Conveniently, my husband in his math and modeling class just took some samples of the river last Saturday.
So there you got, you got your control point.
Yep.
Now get him, go back and get more and blow his mind.
And I'm super, let's end on this. Like Shungite turtle, there's something I could be doing right now. That's going to like, we've already taken care of the Blackstone in this call today and that's great. But that I got to chat with you or get on your website and figure out what's going on there. And you talked about putting this couple, I have Shungite chunks so I can get a couple vials and do one and one and check it all out. I'm down with doing some Shungite experimentation and seeing all the fun that can unwind there.
Yes, because it'll teach you so much about the ability to imagine outside the box. It gives us the tool to be able to basically do magic, which is the manipulation of energy. But in this case, it's at the quantum level. It's a fun thing to play with, Julie.
I'm excited.
Yeah, we got to get you whatever you need to be able to do this testing. Oh my gosh, we're at the end of the hour. Give them your website, please.
So I have innerspacehealing.org. And my email is julie@innerspacehealing.org. And I have a Facebook page. I do some sharing on Facebook. I have a blog that's up through my website. And I'd love to hear people's tales and whatnot.
Send me those links and I will put them on the YouTube discussion.
Okay. So I'm supposed to send Stephanie the picture of the ocean floor that looks like the Draco. the dragon, and I'm supposed to send you, Nancy, the Fritz, the biophotonics dude. He's awesome. You're going to love him.
I want the picture she's getting, too.
Okay.
We'll put it up. Put it up on the YouTube.
And the Living Machine, his site is to go to.
Oh, yes, please.
This has been like, this is the...
Cool.
This conversation, you ladies are... You're our rock stars. I'm upgrading you both to superlative superstars. Thank you so much for having this platform. Thank you for having me on. This is the most exciting conversation, and it's a pleasure and such an honor to be part of it.
Just beginning. Thank you, everybody out there. You've been listening to the Shungite Radio Show, produced by Cosmic Reality Radio. Have an awesome week. Be safe. And tonight at 6 to 8, we're going to have myself, Walt Silva, and Derek Condit talking about a number of different subjects, including what may or may not be happening with the sun. So here we go. Thanks again, everybody. Be safe. Be blessed.
You have been listening to the Shungite Radio Show, produced by Cosmic Reality Radio and simulcasted over Haggishack Radio.